Every year at this time, before we say the kinnis of the Baba Rebbe Schus Yaleinu and Rav Schwab, Zechut Tzadik V'Kosh Levroche, try to share with you a parasha from the Milchama, from the war. A story, a personal story, to bring out a certain nakuda of how that tsara that took place a short time ago, so last night's a continuation of the crying of the Meraglim and the crying of Beis HaMikdash, the second Beis HaMikdash, and so on. And even though there are, Baruch Hashem, many of you who were not touched directly by the Milchama, by the Holocaust, you're already once removed, or b'chlal not, Sfadish Chever that was Zoicha not. For the most part, there were also, of course, from Italy and from Greece, and Turkey, but for the most part, we're not directly in the path of destruction. Had he succeeded Yimach Shemai, of course, there would have been no exceptions. But the years are going by. And I'm always afraid that as the years go by, people are becoming less connected to that which took place. And I think that when I was born, I was just talking to my wife about this, that the year that I was born, my parents had that simcha. So it was only 12 years after they came out. It was only 12 years after that. Now when we talk about it, it sounds like it's a different world. So let me share this story with you that I saw in a sefer a little while ago. I mentioned some months ago there's a chazan that Baruch Hashem is alive and well. He lives in Ottawa. And his name is Moshe LeKravs. My father's uncle, as I know him, this chazan Moshe Kravs is from Munkach, my mother's hometown. And he is a shame dover. Before the war, as a child wonder. And the Minchas Alozi used to have him get up and sing as a boy. And he went through the Milchama. He was liberated from Bergen-Belsen. And he became the official chazan of the Tzahal, of the IDF. He lived in Eretz Yisrael for a while, then eventually moved to Canada. There was one of the chevra who was visiting here, told me that he has the schus to drive, he lives in Ottawa, and he has the schus to drive Chazan Kraus to shul every morning. He should continue for many years to do that. So this is in Lashon HaKari. This will take just 2 or 3 minutes to read. Listen carefully. Hishtachrarati Bergen-Belsen. I was liberated from Bergen-Belsen in April 1945. And he remained in a DP camp. And he came to the Yom Neroyim Shal Shnas Tav Shinvav Adayin HaYisi B'machna. And he was in the DP camp. for Yom Neroim after the war, after liberation. And he said that there were Rabbonim Acharon, there were Rabbonim there. And Lekras Yom Kippur, to prepare for Yom Kippur, the Americans set aside a very large hangar that had room for thousands of people. And Moshe Lekras says that for Kol Nidrei, this tremendous hangar was filled and became a shul for the survivors. I always think and try and wonder, I mean, read stories from the Klausenberger and others that first Yom Kippur. I asked my father about it. My father just says to him, what's there to talk about this? To talk about that Yom Kippur. He never told me what he meant by that. That Yom Kippur. My mother, I don't ask, because the second you bring up the subject, she just starts crying and walks out of the room. So Moshe Krauss says that the Rav that was asked to Darshan over there was a great Talmud Chacham. He's written Gewaldige Svarim called Chai Nefesh. It's a big Lamdan. His name is Rabbi Yisrael Aryeh Zalmanovich, Zichron Levrach. Died a few years ago. A few, maybe like 10, 12 years ago. I don't remember exactly. Later on, he was the Rav of Akko, and he became the Rav of Kiryat Sanz, Netanya. This is Rav Zalmanovich. He wrote Shuvitz and Halach. He was a big person. So Moshe Krauss says that Kamoini, or Kamoi Kol Boy Beis HaKnesses, like myself and all of the other members of this new shul. But, what was the membership to get into that shul? They paid much more than any other shul ever to be members of that shul. She says that Rav Zalmanovich was also, Avrahu was Neroyis Hashoya, that he went through the war and he lost his whole family. B'chazda Hashem, Noyisa the Plata. B'chazda Hashem, he survived. So Moshe says that Ma'achava Isi Achazin Shal Haminyan. Since I was asked to be the chazan for Kol Nidrei, Yeshavtu Litzidol HaBima Shehukma B'Somach Levan HaKadosh. They built some sort of a bima, a platform. And Moshe Krauss says that they put me to sit next to Rav Zalmanovich. So I was the chazan and he was the Rav that was going to darsh. Rav Zalmanovich, Moshe Krauss is around the same age, maybe a year younger than my father, so say around 95. Now he's. He was born in around 1923, 1924, so I figured he was 22, 23 years old. He was a Shem Dover in Hungary as a chazan. So, Be'emse Tfilah Zaka. So everybody's getting ready for Kol Nidrei, and they're saying Tfilah Zaka. She says that I'm sitting next to Rav Zalmanovich. I'm sitting next to the Tzaddik, Moshe Krauss says, and he says the Rav turns to me. He says, "Moshe, shechachti kol ma sheichanti lidroish." Rav Zalmanovich said that Moshe, I forgot the drosha I prepared, and Moshe says that. This was very common. We were forgetting things we couldn't remember. It was very hard for us to have Yishev Adas. So he said they were sitting there and it's time to darshan. And Rav Zalmanovich says, I don't remember the drosh I prepared. Ula yesh lecha ezavart sheshamata mirabcha hamun kacharov abchaim elozeh. So Moshe Krauss says that Rav Zalmanovich asked me, maybe you remember a vart that you heard from the Minchas Elozeh from your Rebbe, from the Munkach. He says, tell me the vart, any fight, it could be for Parshas Korach, you know, whatever. Just tell me if I don't remember. Rav Zalmanovich, who was a guy, I don't remember anything. Tell me something you heard from the Minchas Elazar. And Archiv is a div, and I'll fix it. You know, I'll make it into a drosha for Kol Nidre. So Moshe Kras says to him, "Eini zoicha mu'uma. I don't remember any Torah that I heard." And then Moshe says, "I looked at the tzibur, at the thousands of people, and I said to the Rav, Shei sheker bebeis haknesses ka tzibur min astam, tzomri l'moitzei piv." I said, "Rabbi, the reason it's so quiet here now is that everybody's waiting for you to say the drasha for Kol Nidre." So what drasha does the tzaddik say to thousands of survivors like him when he has no drasha? It's going to be, of course, one of the most important drashas, and one of the shortest drashas that was ever said. So he said, the Rav Zalmanovich stood up and he said this. Says in Pasuk, "Vayoshev Ruvein al habor," that Ruvein went back to their pit. "Vihine ein Yosef babor," and Yosef HaTzadik was not there. "Vayikres begodav," and Ruvein raised kriya. "V'yoshev alechov v'yoymar," and Ruvein went back to his brothers, and he said, "Hayeled einenu v'ani ona aniba." The boy, the child, is gone. Now, what am I to do? Then Rav Zalmanovich said, "Rabbi Isai, Vadai zechurim lachem yomim mikedem." He said to everybody, "All of you remember how it used to be. Ech shebelel kol nidre." It was the night of Kol Nidre. Bo kol ha'yor lebeis haknes, the whole shtetl, the whole town came to shul. Minar v'adzokein tafinosh. Children, old people, little babies, women. Atam zeichem bevade yisai rash v'hamula shahayilod mekimu besakneses. And all of you remember the tumult, the commotion, the noise that the children were making in shul before Kol Nidre. Ad shagaboy nel su ligor behem lahasas esam, until the gaboyim had to shushka them, had to cry it down, to yell at the children to be quiet. Levali afiyu l'rav b'drashos l'chazim b'tfilos, not to make noise, to bother the rav by the drosh and the chazim by the davening. And he says, "Rabbi Yisai haritza gebrid," my beloved brothers and sisters, "Alofenim tzoyim kan," the thousands of you here, "ach ein kan kol rash," but it's totally silent. It's when Moshe said to him, "It's quiet, the Rebbe, it's quiet, they're waiting for you to say a drash, it's quiet." So Zalmanovich says, "Alofenim tzoyim kan," there are thousands here, "ach ein kan kol rash," but it's totally quiet. There's no noise. "Heichon nelmo hayeladim." Where are the children? V'yoshev Reuven al habor. V'yoshev elecha v'yoymar hayelad enenu v'ani anani bar. That we look in the pit, as Zamanovich said, the children are there. Heichen nelmo hayeladim, where are all of our children? I'm Alechem. Sorrowful on away, son. Our children have been burned. Eifahim koilas harash al yaldi hachemet. Where's the noise of all of the beautiful children, our children? Where's the noise of the children? Heim namoigu b'kivshonei ha'esh u'b'tei ha'gozim. They were suffocated in the crematorium and in the gas chambers. Hayela deinenu. The child is gone. The children are gone. Va'ani ona ani boha. And now he says, what do we do? What should we do? The children are gone. It's quiet. What are we going to do? And Moshe Kraus ends and he says, all of us, thousands of people, began. We were shaking. And the whole oilam, thousands of people, start to scream and to scream and to sob. Havsuka couldn't stop the crying for a long time. We couldn't daven. We couldn't continue to daven. Rachman Lipslan, Rachman Lipslan. Hashem should save us, Hashem should save us. So we're living in a time, Rabbi Yisrael, where the children are here, Baruch Hashem. My father, when he was able to, would stand on the corner of Jarvis and of Hicksville and Reed's Lane in Farakaway. He would want to be there every morning to watch when the school buses were pulling up and the kids were getting on to the school bus. And then he would want to walk outside again. Hashem should help me, should be able to again, to go outside and to watch when the children were coming off from the school bus. And every day he likes to go to watch when the children go with their bags onto the bus and come off of the bus in the afternoon. And that's when he would take his walk. So Baruch Hashem, there are many, many children. Kanai Nahara, Sophie, Nebuch didn't make it, but there are so many beautiful children. Our children and grandchildren. In davening we say, and we're going to be saying many, many times, in a few weeks, Avinu Malkeinu, Asei Leman Ba'esh Uvamayim Akidu Shemecha. Avinu Malkeinu, our Father, our King. Asei Leman Ba'esh Uvamayim. Please bring a Yeshua. Bring us a good year. For the sake of those who were brought into fire and to water. Who were burnt in fire and drowned in water, al kiddush shemecha. So everybody knows, Rabbi Yisrael Meir Lau Zalgazon Zayin. And he had a very great father-in-law. His father was a His father was killed in the Mecham. But his father-in-law was the Rav of Tel Aviv, Reb Yitzchak Yedidya Frankel. And Reb Yitzchak Yedidya Frankel asked, and it says, Ravina Malkeinu, I say the man, Ba'ei Ve'eishu B'mayim, Al-Kidu Shemecha. So he asked, why Davke Ve'eishu B'mayim? He said, we saw with our own eyes that the Germans had very, very good imagination. They thought of new ways to kill Jews, not just Ba'eishu B'mayim. The Eish and the Mayim didn't get rid of them fast enough. The fire of the crematoria, some of us were together by the Danube a few months ago in Hungary, throwing Jews, shooting them and throwing them into the water. Takes a long time. The Germans and our enemies over the years tried to think of new ways. So Frankel asked, my davke ba'ei ba'eishu b'mayim. In fire and water. Jews were killed through the years with Mises Mishunas. We just said in the keenest babies with their heads crushed against the walls, smashed. My father said he remembers once watching a rat running with the head of an infant in its mouth. No, nice. There was a rat that was so big it had the head of a baby in its mouth. There are different ways for Jews to be killed. So why does it say the man ba'esh of Amayim? So if Rav Frankel said, listen to this. Rav Frankel said, when a person is nisuf ba'esh, when he's burned in a fire, there's nothing that's left of him. He's gone. There's some ashes maybe that blow in the wind. Ashes on an earlier trip that we saw some of the ashes. We were in Majdanek. Moshe Eina Kainer Frankel said, HaToivei B'mayim, like Nebuch, like this Reuven Bauman, who drowned a few weeks ago. When the body is recovered, when the body is found or washed up on the shore, Rav Frankel says, Kulay Shalom. The body looks like a regular body, it's intact. Not like Habar Be'esh. When it's consumed by a fire, there's nothing left. Ashes in the wind. But when it's Habar B'mayim, Habar B'mayim, the body... When you look at the body, you see the body. The body is intact. You look at the body, and you would think, you could think, if you didn't know, that it's somebody that's just resting or sleeping. The only thing is, ain by ruach hai. That it has no longer a ruach of life. It's not alive anymore. So Frankel says that in the Milchama we saw two types. Of Nirtzachim, of Mishumad. We saw two types of Jews who were killed, who were murdered. Avinu Malkeinu Asei Leman Ba'esh, Ba'ei Ba'esh of Amai. He said there were 6 million Jews who were shechted b'chol minei mises mishunas. All different types of murder. We're going to see it. Rav Schwab talks about some of them, and the Rebbe, the Babava, talks about some of these Mises Mishunas. All of those Rav Frankel said they were actually killed in the Milchama, however they were killed. They are called Bo'ei Bo'esh, the ones who were consumed by the fire. We don't have any graves, any matzavas. They're gone. Their bodies were destroyed. Their ashes someplace we don't know. However, when it says Ba'ei Ve'ei Shubamayim, Al Kiddushim, those who are called Ba'ei Bamayim, who are the Ba'ei Bamayim? He said those are the thousands of us who survived. And when you look at us, he said, when you see the survivors, when you look at the survivors, they appear to be intact. Their bodies are intact. They appear like other people. Someone who is drowned, and you look at the body lying there, the body looks like it's a living person, like anybody else. The only thing that's missing is life. The only thing that's missing is the Ruach Chaim, that spirit of life. What's left, he said, of us, of our emunah. What's left of the simcha that we had. Libi, libi, al-chalaleya. Ve'evke yoyim ve'layla. It's chalalei ba'asami. A chalal means a mace, but a chalal means an emptiness, a vacuum. So many of those survivors made it through the war intact. They weren't burned by the fires. They weren't murdered, they weren't killed. They came out from the Akedah, just like that. Each one with a story. And they came out. But only the Bari Olam and sometimes their children know that they were halalim, they were emptied out. They were empty shells of the people they used to be. That the people that we saw Chalalei Ba'asami Libi Libi Achalalei. We're not only crying for Jews who were killed. We're not only saying Avinu Malkeinu on the Bo'ei Ba'esh, but we're crying for Jews who were emptied out of their souls. So it's not just about the Jews who are no longer here. Let me show you this paper. You can't see it from far away. This is a piece of paper. I'll read to you a couple of words on it. It has on it a couple of thousand names. Aviva bas Chana Sar, Avigal bas Liat, Avigal bas Rachel Chaya, Avram Abish ben Shendel Chaya, Avram Eliezer Tzvi ben Esther Bluma. It's on the Aleph base. Yehuda ben Orit, Yehuda ben Sima, Yehuda ben Fariba, Yehuda ben Shendel Chaya, Yehuda Zer ben Dina.
Chana bas Esther Blima. Chana Leah bas Aviva Zlata. Chana bas Gittel Sarum. Chana bas Golda Etel Bela. Chana bas Malka Charna. Chana Gittel bas Vega Malka. Chana Yehudas bas Chayel Gittel. Bas Chayel Gittel. Yitzchak Yisrael ben Shifra Leah. Yishai Matis Yob ben Pesel Bracha. Miriam bas Rachel. Mim Chana bas Sheindel. Mim Liba bas Esther Blima. Frumet bas Miriam, Sivy Hadassah bas Dvar Fega. All the way down till Tirtza bas Ronit. Now I carry this with me and I keep it in my talis bottle. And I went this year to Shabbos. 400 parents of children who have completely left Yiddishkeit and the home. And these are their children. And that chever, they're close to each other and they have a minig. They all daven for each other. For each other's kids. And I asked if I could have a page with the names also. But even though B'chazda Hashem, my children are survivors of the time they were in. But to be able to be mishtatif in their tefillas for their children. And I know some of these children because some of the names on here are from our shul. You know, these children are, these are the Chalulei Basami. These are the Bo'ei Bamayim of a generation when, Baruch Hashem, there's no longer Hitler and an Eichmann. This little girl in Sternberg with the hood over her head. So I can tell you how much time I've been spending the last few weeks begging directors of camps who maybe didn't have the same heart or not, or because of their responsibilities as this woman that Rav Levin was talking about, begging them to give this kid a second chance. He was caught with a pen that has marijuana in it. I never heard of such a hamsah. It's an Einfall, no? I didn't know that they make pens like that. I heard of Parker and Vic. I never heard of a marijuana pen. But apparently they make such a thing. And the rule is you have to leave camp. Kids are generally dumb. And instead of waiting like 2 or 3 weeks in the camp till you are caught, it was like the first day, you know. And the first day, of course, then you have to be a carbon. And you have to show the whole camp that this can't be tolerated. And again, I'm not blaming any director of any camp, because if you have to run a camp, you have an achrayus, I get it. And I told the director of the camp that I completely understand what you're doing. I told the kid to pack up and to leave. And I completely understand that. And I just wanted to remind you that on the page that has on the story of that boy's destruction, your name's also going to be over there by the top five names. I don't want to make you feel bad about it. But I just want you to know that you might have an answer to it, but you're going to have to explain why your name is on the page. Why he's Chayiv Misa for having a little weed. Why he's Chayiv Misa. Because that's where this kid's going to go. I know the parish, I know the story with this kid, that's where he's going to go. So he told me I can't have such a thing. He's got to leave. I said to him, I understand you, but I don't envy you. And 2 hours later, the grandmother called to tell me that they decided to give him another chance. They're going to send them back for Shabbos. He has to go to his parents, and he can come back after Shabbos. So I sent a text message to the director, who's a very fine person. You see, he's a fine person. He's a chosh of a person. I sent him a text message, and I said on the text I wrote, long after you and I are retired, Avi, David, whatever the name is I wrote, will remember a Jew who gave him a second chance. Chevy, you know, not all of the children are getting a second chance. There are many of them who are not getting a first chance. The girl whose poem I read last night, she never got a first chance. Because she was in a house to begin with her own brother was, her own family were molesting her and tormenting her. She never had a first chance. Do you know how many kids are in yeshiva? They're going to be going back in September. Do you know how many of them are sitting in this class? And when you look at them, they look like they're regular kids. And only HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows, under that cute face, under that pretty face, Chalalei Basami, empty shells. As if the Baruch Hu, when he gave the Torah at Sinai, he wanted to create a nation of golems who have been emptied out by unfeeling people, by Jews who never gave them a first chance or a second chance. Chalalei Basami. Libi, Libi, Al Chalaleia. You can walk nowadays into a yeshiva and you can look around and you could say, Hayel Reinenu. Vani Onani Ba. It's a room filled with children. Not like Moshe Krauss and Yibodel Ben Chaim L'Chaim, Rav Zalmanovich, where there were no children there. I remember when I was little, there were very few children in shul. I remember that. I remember that by Yizkor, there were very few of us that went outside. I remember that when we lived in Netanya when I was 13 years old, and I went outside the big shul for Yizkor, I remember such a sound coming from the shul of screaming and crying that I had to run down the block to get away from it. And I ran with a few kids. We went like this down the block. Because the memories were still fresh of 1945, of those years, and of 1967. The soldiers that were killed. And now, we're living in a time of Baruch Hashem. There are exceptions, because some of the kids just, they can't take it. And they jump off a roof, or they overdose, so they do something to get out of the world, because they can't go on anymore. And there are other sad stories of those like the little girl who died young. But then there are the thousands and the thousands and the thousands who are alive and well, who are walking down the street with their iPhones, staring at a thing on the over there, and they're not alive. Where's the child? Where's the Simchas Achayim? Where's the joy of being a Jew? Where's the happiness of being alive? Where's the excitement? Thousands and thousands of boys whose souls have been emptied out because they feel like they're dirt because of what they've seen on the internet. And nobody is telling them, you're okay, God, the Baruch Hashem loves you, He understands you, He made you. Let's talk about it. I did this also when I was a kid. Just because I didn't have an internet, I didn't think of these things. Libi, libi, al halaleya. The keenness of the Holocaust, a keenness of Aseleman Ba'ei Ba'esh, of those who were consumed by the fires. The keenness of Toshinai and Tess, Aleman Ba'ei Ba'mayim, those who are drowning in the ocean, who seem to be alive, but Yom V'layla Evka. Evka Yom V'layla Achalulei Basami. Young people who are emptied out of life. Who have a hollow look in their eyes. I was davening the other day. And there's a bocher that was standing there. As it often happens with bocherim. Because then it's hard sometimes to get a minyan there. The people are not around during the week. So they said the night before, we're going to daven. So they said, I said, when are you going to daven? It was me and one older guy. And the rest were bochum. It was like between the first camp and the second. So we're going to daven. So first you have to negotiate to try to get a minyan. These are all kids that are learning in the best yeshivas. Sweetest, most delicious boys in the world. So call them. I say, chevra, we're davening tomorrow. Silence. What time is davening tomorrow? We have around 20 guys. Anybody davening, we're davening tomorrow. Slowly a couple of boys like this. Fine, good. What time is davening? They start looking at each other. 9 o'clock. I say, 9 o'clock is mincha. What time are we davening? When is davening? So then the other adult next to me, he says, yeah, take it easy. So the other adult says, Chev is eight, you know, like, it's okay, Rabbi Weinberger, just let me take care of this. 8:30. 8:30? I'm saying 8:30. So a couple of the boys. So then I said, 8:30, okay, 8:30. I didn't really want to go, but I didn't want to not be like, you know, the chavis. So I said, 8:30. I mean, I got a couple of hours before to learn. I said, 8:30, good? 8:30 means 8:30, right, chavis, 8:30? 8:30, right? And there's a boy, I said, 8:30. He doesn't answer me, he just looks at me like this. My mom is like this. I said, okay. 8:30. We started the next day around 8:45. I came, I said to my wife, I didn't say the words Libi, Libi, Achaleyam. Why aren't you answering me? Why aren't you looking me in the eyes? Why can't I talk to you? Do you know how many children are walking around like this? Much more of the boys than the girls. Much more of the boys than the girls. And then when you try to make a shidduch, the girl's like ready to talk to somebody and have a relationship. And he's also the same thing. What's your name? 9 o'clock. Are you happy? Okay, 8:30. Libi, libi, achalaleya. Vacuous, empty, something that's not regular. We have to ask ourselves, what's happening? What, like Rav Levin was saying, how could I be a little bit of a Mashiach for this person? To give a second chance. To do something, to help, something. So before we're going to say Elitzim, let me share with you a story that I told you years ago. Before we say the keenness, I mean, the Holocaust. You had years ago, he was nifter a few years ago. There was a kinter, a chazen. Since we began with a chazen, we're going to end with a chazen. There was a tire year, the precious Jew. There was a chazen in Lawrence, in Beth Shalom. Kinter Ehrlich, I think his name was. Anybody know the name? Yeah? What? Moshe Ehrlich, right. He was for many, many years chazen. And he brought him a chazen. He was good friends with my shver's a chazen. All the chazanim, they stick together. Who else would want to be with a chazen? That's just a little side note. So, I'm sorry. So this Moshe Ehrlich is a very special person. I met him a few times at Simchas and things. And Moshe Ehrlich told me a story. It's Kanta Ehrlich. When I met him, I don't remember, my shver must have introduced him. You know, whatever they're talking, Yisrael Rosenblatt, Moshe Kuzovitsky, and this is my son-in-law. So Kanta Ehrlich said this story. I hope I have it right. It's already a long time ago. This is what he said. He said that he learned in Torah Vedas. That's why he went to yeshiva. He said that in Torah Vedas, the Rosh Yeshiva told the boys, it's a big hint, it's a big yontiv hint. Or it wasn't, they were, it wasn't during school, it was when they were in camp. And he was in camp Torah Vedas, right. He was in camp Torah Vedas. And the day before they told them in camp, it's a big yontif, because the Baba Rebbe, we're now going to say in 5 minutes Akina, Reb Shloimele, the Baba Rebbe is coming on the boat tomorrow, and we're going to send a few of the chevra who they won a prize, whatever, that they were, some of the boys that were, won something, I don't know, that the boys are going to go and they're going to be part of the mishlach as the delegation of Jews who are going to have the schus to greet the Baba Rebbe at the pier, at the boat. So the Baba Rebbe arrived, the next day was Erev Shabbos. And there were hundreds of Jews who came from all over to be makabel upon him. The Baba Rebbe. And from all these different Jews from different places, they were fighting. Where is the Baba Rebbe going to come to stay for Shabbos? So there was a chevra from Crown Heights. There was a chevra from Williamsburg. And from Borough Park. And there was a chevra from other places. They were all fighting the Lower East Side. This place, the West Side. Where is the Rebbe going to come they want for Shabbos? A schus. And the Rebbe looked, above Rebbe looked, and he saw there were some boys with a counselor. And the above Rebbe asked them, who are you? So the boys said that we come from a camp, we're in a camp Torah Vedas, in a place called the Catskills, in the mountains. And the above Rebbe said, that's why I'm going for Shabbos. Can I come with you for Shabbos? So Chazan Ehrlich said that the Baba Rebbe went to Kim Torah Vedas. And the guys called ahead with the counselor, you're not going to believe this. We won. And the Rebbe is coming to be with us for Shabbos. No, I meant it was Thursday afternoon. I'll tell you why. It was Thursday afternoon, not Erev Shabbos. And they called, and the Rebbe's coming to be with us for Shabbos. And there was a big commotion in the camp. Now it happened that the cook in Camp Tarvadas was an old Baba V'chosid from the Haim. And he was making meal, special foods, what Baba V'chosid eat, whatever that is. And it was a whole yontif, they were getting ready there for Shabbos. And the Rebbe was coming Thursday night, it was at night, they came Thursday night. And Chazan Erlich told me that all the boys of the camp were given torches. And the old chef, the cook in the kitchen, was this Baba V'chosid, played the violin. And he said they went out onto the road outside the camp. Hundreds of boys with torches. And leading them was this cook, who the Rebbe, who knew the Rebbe from Babov. And he was going with a violin. And he was playing a Babov and Niggin from the Rebbe's father, Ben Tzion. Hashem should avenge his blood. And he was playing a Niggin from the old Rebbe. And Chazan Erlich was among the boys that were going with the torches to be makabel pan. And he said, Chazan Erlich said that the car was coming and it slowed down to go very slowly as they were approaching the torches and the boys. And while the car was still moving, he said that Baba Rebbe opened the door and jumped out from the moving car. And he said he ran over to us and he started to hug us. Tyra kinder, Yiddish kinder. Kent Erlich said that it was years until finally he decided he's going to go to Babov. He went there, it was a Purim or something, I don't know, a special day. And he was a clean-shaven, modern-looking Jew. And there were many, many, many people standing around the Baba Rebbe's Tish in Borough Park. And the Rebbe was giving l'chaims. And Chazan Erlich said that he was in the crowd. And the Baba Rebbe's eyes met his eyes and said to him, and the Baba Rebbe said, I know you, thanks, I know who you are. And Chazan Erlich says, Rebbe, you remember me? And he said, you're one of the boys from Camp Torah V'das. I remember you. And the Rebbe got up and he said, come here. And he gave him again a hug. He says, Moshe, I want you to know. The Baba Rebbe said, I want you to know that I didn't want to live. I didn't want to live. I didn't know how I was going to continue. But you and the boys, you gave me back my life. That Thursday night, you gave me back my life. Chavre, soon Mashiach is going to come. I don't know where he's going to spend his first Shabbos. Maybe all the big knackers are going to be surprised, all the big gvirim and all the big fancy, special, rich people and big lumdom are going to be surprised. And maybe Mashiach has also the list of names. Because the union of Mashiach is to give every single Jew a second chance.
Hashem Yisboch should help us that we should be able to be there on that day, on that night, and to be zeichet to carry torches, and to watch HaMashiach Zekeinu, Yelad Yulad Lanu, to watch HaMashiach Zekeinu is going to grab the children, and how those empty bodies are going to be filled with the spirit of life again, and with the Lev Basar, with hearts of flesh, and Vatsi Reisi is Lev Ha'Evan. And that day will be zeich to see each one of those children and ourselves be hugged and embraced by Mashiach Tzekeinu. And that same day of Yom Nokim Belibi, we're going to see, after those hugs and those embraces, Mashiach take the sword out that's underneath his bekeshah, underneath his coat. He's going to take out his sword, and the time will come of Yom Nokim Belibi for every drop of Jewish blood that was ever spilled. We should be zeich to see the Nechama, and we should be zeichet to see the Nechama. May I be a man or a man of a man.